You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, come on, give them better than that. We're going to have to do spiritual warm-ups before we start prayer, obviously. Father, we thank you, Lord God, Father, for just being our Lord and our Savior. Thank you, Lord God, Father, for today. Thank you, Lord God, Father, that you gave us, Lord God, the opportunity, Lord God, to be in our right mind. Thank you, Lord God, Father, the opportunity to fight, Lord God, Father, for the word, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, Father, for the ability, Lord God, to fight for salvation. Thank you, Lord God, Father, for the ability to fight for peace, Lord God, Father. There are people that don't even know, Lord God, what is promised to them. So we thank you, Lord God, Father. We know what belongs unto us. And I thank you, Lord God, Father, the battle is it belongs, Lord God, Father, to us, Lord God. Victory belongs to us, Lord God, Father. We can fight, Lord God, Father, for the things called victory, Lord God, Father, that was promised to us, Lord God. Father, we are overcomers, Lord God, Father. And we thank you, Lord God, Father, that you have promised us things, Lord God, Father. We just don't have to go through things and, Lord God, take, Lord God, whatever is given, Lord God. But I thank you, Lord God, that we can claim victory because victory was promised to us. There's so many people who don't know, Lord God, victory is promised to them, so they don't fight for it, Lord God. So I thank you, Lord God. Peace, Lord God, belongs to us. Joy belongs to us, Lord God. Salvation belongs to us, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for the lessons that we learn, Lord God, Father, because it makes us better, Lord God. Thank you that we're equipped, Lord God, Father, to fight, Lord God. We have the tools to fight, and I thank you, Father, for it. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody give him a shout. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, so we are going to get into the word, the lesson, and all the good stuff. Amen. All right. Welcome, everybody, to the party. This is a party. Amen. Thank you, Lord God, Father, for showing us, Lord God, that you are our Lord, our Savior, our provider, our shield, and our buckler, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, Father, right now for what you're going to give us today. I thank you, Lord God, Father, for you're faithful. I thank you, Lord God, Father, for those, Lord God, Father, that's faithful, that's running after you, Lord God, chasing after you, Lord God. I thank you for the reward, Lord God. I thank you that you said that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. And I thank you, Lord God, Father, even for the reward that you are given to your faithful, Lord God, a reward that you're given to your discipline, Lord God, a reward that you're given to the ones that cry out unto you, Lord God, a reward unto those, Lord God, that don't give up when it gets difficult, Lord God, a reward for those that don't quit when it gets weary, Lord God, a reward for those, Lord God, that keep chasing you even when their legs are tired, Lord God, a reward for them to keep calling out unto you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name. All right, I just want to know, am I speaking to a funeral or am I speaking to church? I just want to make sure I understand which one. Okay, wife, I'll talk to you since you're the only one talking back to me, which, I mean, we could have just stayed at home if we're just going to have a conversation, save some gas. What'd you say? 4 minutes away, amen. So we're going to get into this word today, amen. This is part number 5 of the faith series. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about today specifically the ups and downs of faith today. We're going to talk about the ups and downs of faith. We got into it on Sunday about the different phases of faith, and we're talking today about the ups and downs of faith, and it's important to understand that because you can be at different places of faith, and not everyone is in the same place. So you can have different people in different places in the same thing. And so it's important to understand, just because someone isn't where you are doesn't mean they don't have what you have.
Right.
Just because someone isn't in the level or the category that you're in doesn't mean that they truly don't have faith. And we want to be able to learn that, because in all that getting, we want to get understanding of this. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so there's five questions that I'm going to ask starting out, and we're going to get into this thing. The first question I'm going to ask that I want you to write down, and, you know, in your leisure, I want you to be able to have an answer to this. You don't have to have an answer today, but I do want you to be able to have an answer for this later. And the first one is, what does faith mean to you? First question is, what does faith mean to you? Faith means a different thing to different people. What does it mean to you, number one? With that, I want you to know with faith, there's two different words that have two different definitions. It's important. So in faith, there is a knowing and there is believing. In faith, there is knowing and then there is believing. Okay. And it's important to be able to differentiate the two between having a knowing and a belief to that thing. Really quickly, does anybody have what they believe is a good definition, or if you could describe it, what is your definition of knowing? Does anybody have a quick definition of knowing? I see two hands. I'll let a microphone come to you, so give the microphone a second, and then we will continue. So, Chelsea, you'll be prepared for your answer. We'll you first, and then Mercedes, you'll bring it home. Okay. So, what's your definition of knowing?
A knowing is having an understanding of something based off information.
Okay, it is not rejected, so you don't have to have your eyes that big. Okay, it was not rejected. Okay, oh, so what do you have to say on that, Mercedes? Knowing. That mic was personally delivered to your hand. Wow.
Yeah. Mine is very similar. I was going to say, for me, knowing is a confident understanding. And I say confident because being a ex-know-it-all, if I know it, then I can bring it to you from different angles. I'm confident in understanding of that thing.
Okay. Anybody else have something? Okay. I see these two people in the front row. Please give it to Merce. Okay, give it to Marina before she explodes, please. Mercedes. I was looking at her, and her lashes was talking to me, so sorry.
I describe knowing as a proven fact. If it's not a proven fact to me, then it's still uncertain.
Okay.
There has to be a proven something in there. Touch, sight.
Okay.
Proven.
Okay. Last one.
Knowing to me is something that I have lived out, experienced. There's no doubt. There's no wavering. Something that's been proven. That's it, pretty much.
Okay. All right. So I didn't want to sway either way, you know, what I thought. Those were all four different very good perspectives of knowing. The word that you used was really good, Marina. You know, when you say two words, you know, proving fact type thing. And in that, you want to make sure that when there is a knowing, that there is a knowledge built. A knowing has knowledge built. So there is a proven fact or experience related proven fact that has brought you to the conclusion that it's proven. Okay. So when you have knowledge of something, that knowledge, you are attaining something that you now, you own that as true. Okay. So something you say lived out, something that is lived out, something that is experienced. That's a knowledge because it's been proven, it's been lived out, it's been experienced. So when you've experienced it, you've lived it out, it's been proven to you. Now you can attain that thing as what? Knowing. So stay with me. Whew, it's going to get rough if you don't. So when there's a difference between knowing and believing. Now that are we firm on knowing? Okay, so when you say I know, there you have to have now you have the examples behind when you say you know something. So sometimes we tell people oh, I know that, but we have to have a good understanding of what knowing means. Okay, before we can move to the next one, what's the difference or what's the definition of believing? Marina, microphone will be coming your way soon. She has her track shoes on, so she'll be there really quickly. Well, especially since they had no idea that this was going to have microphones involved. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
So the opposite of knowing where you can almost replicate something that's been proven, believing is you can't prove it. You can't replicate it. You can't. There's no fact to hold on to.
You might want to talk to the microphone.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Okay.
So believing is not being able to prove it. You can't replicate. You just can't touch it. You can't see it. It's the complete opposite of knowing.
Like okay. Knowing. Go ahead.
I feel like a little light bulb just went off. Even with Marina saying factual over and over, as I'm looking at the words on the screen, for me, knowing is in the mind and believing is in my heart. It's an unwavering feeling, which for me may go against what I know because it may say this on paper. That person may have been diagnosed with a thing, but if I'm just believing that they're going to be healed, I don't care what it says. This is an unwavering feeling that I just can't shake. So for me, knowing is in the mind and believing is in my heart.
Okay. Some people have groaned. You guys have sparked some debate there. Before we're done, Minister Tan, you were talking to me with your face. Did you want to say anything or no? Okay, because your eyebrows and cheeks were speaking. So believing means that you have accepted something to be true. But when you're believing it, you're accepting it to be true, or you are confident, or you have trust in it. So you remember we talked about knowing. Knowing is something that you've lived, you've experienced it. It's been proven to you, so you know it. The difference between believing is you've accepted it to be true. You're hoping it to be true. You have a trust in it, and so you've accepted it. Okay, so when you're believing in someone, you are accepting that they are what you are hoping they are. Okay, it's not proven, but you have accepted that. You know how like sometimes we've been with somebody we shouldn't have been with, but we are believing that they're going to turn around. Everyone told us they're the wrong person for us, but we're like, but you haven't seen the good quality. You've accepted what they've said to you. You've accepted what they've shown you. You've accepted what your heart said. Going what Mercedes said, with your heart. See, sometimes we're believing from our heart. We've accepted. Our heart says, love them. Our heart says, you can trust them. So we've accepted that they are not as bad as we thought they were. That's just an example. So when you're believing something, you're hoping it to be true. You're accepting it to be true, but there's no proof. You have no experience that is true. So that's why you can't say, I know. Now, sometimes we use the words in the wrong context and wrong definition. We say, oh, I know them. You don't know them. No, you are believing when something's been proven to them, and that's why they say, I know who they are. And so this is why, too, that can cause problems in relationships, because someone that can have a knowing, they can have factual proof, has been proven to them that person is a liar, but you're still believing that those lies are true. Did you get that? So that's why, so the heart, as you mentioned, the heart sometimes can deter us from a knowing. And sometimes God will reveal to us what he knows, but we still won't receive it. So we'll reject what God says because we're believing in something that God already knows. Did you get that? So many times, even as believers, we rebuke, we reject what's true because we're still believing, hoping that is not true because of our heart. Okay. And the Bible tells us out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So sometimes when we're living from the heart and not from what's true, we still can't walk with God correctly. Does that make sense? So it's important for us to know that as we are in our fifth message of faith, because there are ups and downs of faith, and we have to know that. We have to know that there are ups and downs of faith. You won't always be up in faith. Hopefully, you always won't be down as well. But for us to get this in spirit and in truth, we have to be able to balance it out to understand that there's levels to this thing. That sometimes you can be very low in your faith. You still have faith, but you have low faith. It can't be that you don't have it. You do have it, but man, if you don't get to a spiritual gas station quickly, you know you need a fill up. Okay, you know you believe, but man, you know if you get pushed one more time, you're gonna be down. Does that make sense? So this is why it's impossible. It's important to. What does faith mean to you? Okay. And then, so number two, the second question is, how do you apply faith in your life? How do you apply faith in your life? Security. I don't see notebook, paper, something. You in the front row. Oh, you're too good of a student. I'm fine to get it. Lord have mercy. You're a straight A student. So how do you apply faith to your life is a question I want you to be able to have an answer to, because if you don't apply faith to your life, my question to you is, how in the world can you ever please God if you never apply faith? When the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith, if you never use faith, when are you pleasing God? And so when you say, well, I don't need faith. Well, if you don't need faith, my question was, how can you have God if you don't need faith? And my other question, don't write this down, but I mean, you can write it down, but how can you meet God without faith? Because faith pleases him and faith moves him. So how can you meet him if you don't utilize it? Okay, I think that was almost two-part harmony. And so it's sometimes we say, I'm with God, I walk with God. But my question is, how can you even meet him if you don't have it? Because you connect with him with faith. You touch him with faith. You move him by not your work, your words, not even your words. I mean, your words or your works, but you move him by your faith. Are you getting this? So faith is a visual thing. You have to be able to see what you can't see naturally. You have to be able to see yourself. When God says it, you have to be able to see yourself as God says it. So you can no longer see what you want to see, if that makes sense. So sometimes, like, let me break it down. Sometimes when God shows you who you are, he's showing you that you're in a different place than you are naturally. A lot of times God will show you something that is complete opposite of where you are. Like, he'll show you in a peaceful place when you're angry. And you have to now see yourself as no longer mad. See, a lot of times God will show you a place, but it's different from where you are because he's saying, I don't want you to stay where you are. You need to see yourself where because where I'm showing you is where the blessing is. And the blessing isn't where you and your emotions being mad. Sometimes you want to be disappointed and God is showing you who you are when you're all happy. And you're like, but so I can't see myself disappointed anymore. So I got to let it go. It has to be visual, which is a challenge when we are fleshly people. Okay. So my third question, number one question was, what does faith mean to you? Two, how do you apply faith to your life? Three, how do you handle a struggle? Because if you still handle a struggle by being emotional, you're still not using faith. Because you have to have enough faith to get you out of the natural state that you want to be in. In other words, you have to use faith to get you out of the natural place you want to be in because you want to experience the natural emotion. And you have to believe that you won't be prosperous in that way and see yourself not that way. This is an exercise that I want you to begin to work on. When somebody or something tries to irritate you and it tries to take your flesh somewhere, see yourself not feeling it. See yourself not taking the bait of going there emotionally. See yourself saying, I could be there in 5 seconds, or I could see myself having the peace that's going to hold me in this moment. Because it's a choice. Am I going to believe that I can handle this and overcome this? Or do I choose not to have faith and just go by default and feel it? The most stable people are those that operate in faith. And the less stable people are those that really don't have it. In that same category, there's a lot of people who have faith, they just don't have faith in godly things. Like, can I tell you something that may be a shocker to you? Everybody operates in faith. It's just how they apply it. Some people, see, can I ask you this? What is faith? What does faith mean to you? What is faith? Faith is believing in something. Okay. I got you, Gels. Faith is you believe in something. So when you say, I don't believe in God, you have faith that he doesn't exist. Okay. And even when people say, I'm an atheist, you have faith that there is no God. So everybody operates in it. It's just who they attribute it to. And what they attribute it to. Okay. Some people have faith in what they do. They have faith in their knowledge. They have faith in their giftings. They just may not have faith in who gave them the giftings. There's a lot of people who have faith that if they talk to you long enough, they can talk you out of your belief system in God. So faith exists. It's just a matter of how you apply it. And some people have faith in their intellect. Some people have faith in their knowledge. Faith exists. So that's what I said. What does faith mean to you? Because you have to understand everybody you talk to is operating under the same thing. It's just a matter of where they attribute it to. And when you get this, you can understand that's why faith is powerful. Believing is powerful. Oh, okay. So even those that... A lot of people have faith in spirits. They just don't have faith in the Alpha Spirit. They have faith in it. And so, and there's people who have a knowing that spirits exist because they call them, okay? They channel them. There's a knowing. They have dipped into the dark side, and there's a knowing that they exist, and they know there's power in them, but what they don't know is that there is an ultimate spirit. And where the Holy Spirit resides, and the Alpha, the Omega, God ruling over everything. So it's very important that you understand ups and downs of faith. Don't let somebody who can put a couple of sentences together pull you down and make you not believe on what you knew was true. Because if you knew God did it, if you knew, if as an experience, as Marie said, proven, okay, if you knew that it was proven to you that God existed, how can you let somebody take away your knowing and now you're struggling even with your belief? Because, see, belief is accepting it. See, the enemy will use anything or anybody to take you from knowing to belief, because believing is accepting. So if he can get you from knowing to accepting, now he can pull on you that you won't accept the word or the truth of God anymore. So there's levels to that thing. See, something when we give our life to Christ, we accept him as our Lord and Savior. And then so we believe that he's God, but we don't have the experience yet. And then the more you grow with him, it goes from believing to knowing because you walked with him. Oh, man, I wish somebody would understand that. So are you getting, so when we're babes in Christ, I see your hand. When there's babes in Christ, when we're new in that thing, we all start with believing. But you should go from and graduate from believing to knowing. And so that's why senior Christians, they should walk around with a knowing. They still shouldn't just have a belief. You're walking with an acceptance that he is. There should be testimonies of the knowing of what Christ has done and who he is and what he's done in your life and how he's taking you from A to B to C to D. That you prayed, only he heard and he did it. That you expressed something and he did it. Are you understanding the miracles? Are you understanding what we're saying? So there's ups and downs, and you have to understand whether you're up or down, stay in it. And when you're down, focus on what you need to do to get your faith back up to where it should be. Do you remember what you were going to say? Okay.
It's more so a question. So faith, believing, and knowing, isn't that all really just like about trusting God? And then I thought about faith as like a muscle. So like the more that you exercise that muscle, the stronger it's going to get. So it'll be more so of not just like the prayers that you have prayed that are getting answered. It's more so the things that you literally have in your heart that are getting answered that you didn't even ask God for.
The answer to that is absolutely. And I'll preface that by saying this too, Chels, that if you start, we all start out with accepting him. So we believe that, you know, I believe when we're sitting there, I believe that was God. We come up to the altar. I believe you were speaking to me. I believe that what I heard was true. I believe that was you. I give my life to you. And so that's an acceptance. I've accepted him. But if I'm still living and years later, I'm like, yeah, I accepted him. But if I'm still at just acceptance and there's no knowing, that means there's been no growth, no development, no enhancement, no work, no ups and downs, but he was with me. Okay, are you getting? Though he slay me, yet will I. Job had a knowing. See, slay, but I still trust him. That's a knowing that he's already been with me when I'm down. So now that I'm down, I'm not going to say he's not Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a knowing. They're like, even if he don't show up, I know who he is. That's a knowing. That's a development. That's no matter what you say, I've been with him. He's been with me. He's already proven himself. So if he don't answer another prayer, I already know he's God. If I live the rest of my life and he doesn't do another thing, he doesn't have to, because he's proven himself over and over and over again. That's a known. I'm beyond acceptance. I'm beyond believing. Oh, I know I'm going to go to my grave knowing I take my last breath, no matter what happens to my body, no matter what the doctor said. I know he's a healer. Even if he don't heal me from this, I know it's just my time to go. I know it ain't that he couldn't do it. I know it's my time to be with him. I know. You understand? So, even when you have to understand, when Jacob transformed from Jacob to Israel, and his hip was dislocated, right. He walked with a limp, but he didn't have to. God could have healed his hip. And Israel wasn't walking around and say, come on, God, I get it. I struggle. Now fix my hip. God could have healed him, but he let him live for the rest of his life with a reminder of what he did. Yes, but Jacob, I mean, Israel wasn't tripping that God wasn't a healer because he didn't heal his hip. There has to be a knowing that even if I'm if I don't have everything that I want, God is still good. If God don't heal everything, he's still the healer. If God don't give me everything, he's still the provider.
That's right. Amen.
If he don't change everything, he's still the creator that could change everything. That's just not the acceptance. That's the belief. That's not the acceptance. It's the belief. Acceptance has to grow into belief. It has to grow into know. So this is the sad thing for me as a pastor when I see people who've been with God for years and they're still at the acceptance level, still accepting that he's Lord, but they haven't allowed him to prove who he is. They haven't allowed him to let them go through to the valleys, okay, with him and to be with them in that time. They haven't allowed him to teach them from manna to provision. Amen? So these are ups and downs of faith. And like you said, faith is like a muscle. You still got it, but man, it's weak. You can't lift nothing. That's why some Christians, as soon as something happened, they gone. And even if they're here, they don't have nothing to help you. You know, they're so weak. You see them, but they can't even pick up the Bible. Okay, you see them at church, you know you don't want to go over there and tell them nothing was going on with you because you know they can't do nothing for you. You see them at the acceptance level, like, I'm trying to grow my muscle. So it's important to understand that. And so God wants us to be able to see the difference and feel the difference. And sometimes when we feel that we're weak, you're like, oh my God, I got to grow this thing. I got to grow my faith. But you don't grow your faith without a trial. You don't grow your faith without a struggle. You don't grow your faith without difficulty.
Right.
Period. You don't grow your faith through good stuff.
Amen.
You don't hit the lottery and say, oh, my faith is built up now. Okay. You don't get a promotion and say, okay, my faith. No, that boss got to tell you, you show up one more time late and you fire. You got to still show up to work. And he see you and he like, hey, how you doing today? And he ain't saying, come to my office. Now that's faith. Like, okay. You got to have some trials and some tribulations and some tests that builds your faith. Come on. So push that thing, squeeze that thing, get the juices out of that thing. Sometimes you got to think, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And believe God and pray and then watch God answer that prayer. You're like, oh, my God, it builds that thing. When there's a knowing, you knew you were one way and you are a different way. And you know it was God that had the patience to dealt with you through that thing. You know what I mean? See, those are the people who know versus those that are still believing. So when you talk to people and say, well, I'm still believing in God. I'm like, well, what do you know? Tell me what you know. Tell me what you know he did. Tell me what you know how he was there for you when nobody else would be there and you ain't even want to be there by yourself, with yourself. But he still stayed with you. Are we getting this? So listen, team, after today and those that's watching, there should be a difference between a knowing and a believing. Okay. So three was, how do you handle a struggle? Because without faith, how can you really handle a struggle correctly? I said correctly. You got that. Correctly. You can't correctly. Because what's going to come out of your mouth is going to be the exact opposite of what God wants to come out of your mouth. You know, when a struggle comes, if you say, here we go again, that is not a believer. How many times have we done that? Loving us some Jesus. Oh, here we go. Somebody say something. I knew it. I was waiting. See, you have faith that they wouldn't change. And sometimes we say we believe him, but we're believing that what they said is a lie. We're just waiting for them to say something. We're like, so he told you, you ain't changed. So how do you handle struggle? Because if you're not believing that God's in it, how can you believe that it's going to be a good change? Did you get that? If you're not believing that God's in it, how can you believe that it's going to be a good change? So faith, you have to believe that God's in it. So when things are really testing you or going on, you got to believe God's in it. But you can't believe God's in it if you haven't invited him in. Like, Lord, I need you in this one. Lord, I'm believing that you are in this. I'm believing that you're working this thing out for my good. I'm believing that at this thing, the victory is going to be mine. I am believing, Lord God, that you have worked this thing out for my good. I'm believing, Lord God, that I'm this thing is up to my hips, Lord God, but I believe I'm going to be able to walk through this thing. I'm believing, Lord God, that this thing won't stay as heavy as it is. I'm believing, Lord God, that the light will come. I'm believing, Lord God, that I'm going to keep going, and as I keep going, the darkness will fade. See, this is the thing. You have to be, faith has to be in there. Lord, I'm believing, Lord God, Father, that you're behind this cloud. I just got to get through the cloud. Lord, I'm believing that what was said, Lord God, won't be able to be what is done, Lord God. I'm believing that what they want done, Lord God, isn't what you want for me, Lord God. I'm believing, Lord God, that you have blocked that thing, Lord God, because you said no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. So I'm believing that what they are trying to do to me won't be able to be done, Lord God. So I won't bow, Lord, to them. I won't hide from them. I won't hide until it's over, Lord God. I'm the head and not the tail. So I'm not going to hide, Lord God. I'm going to do what I need to do because I believe victory is mine. Yes. I'm not going to call off today. I'm going to show up to work, Lord God, and I'm going to bring, Lord God, Father, what you have called me to have, Lord God. I'm not going to be silent, Lord God. I'm going to speak when it's my time to open up my mouth. Are you understanding? Yes. But see, are you operating in faith? Or human emotion? Ups and downs. Now, on the contrary, sometimes in faith, it's just showing up. What do you mean? Yeah. On the contrary, sometimes your faith is low. You're like, I got enough. This is why I said the spiritual gas station. Sometimes you got to have enough faith. I said ups and downs. Your faith is down. You're like, if I forget the parking lot, let me get into the sanctuary and let me just sit down. And I believe I'm going to get my fill up. I got enough faith. This day has been H-E double hockey sticks. And I believe that if I can get into the house of the Lord, if the door won't be locked, I believe that if I can get there and sit down, I believe, Lord God, that by the time I get out of there, victory's going to be mine again. I'm going to get my fill up. I believe it. Are you getting that? So sometimes your faith is low, but do you have enough to just show up? Show up to hear the conversation. Not that you even can contribute to the conversation, but just hear. See, that's the hem of the garment right there. Yeah. That's like, I don't have enough faith to get there and add to the conversation. But if I listen to it, I can get a silent fill up. Yes. Have you ever come to church and the devil was kicking your butt and you were weak? You left. You were full. You couldn't even talk to nobody yet. Okay, you had to make it home, and you got home and said, Lord, thank you for that fill-up. I'll talk next week. I didn't even have the mental fortitude to say something because I was that beat up. I got filled up, but I'm still so bruised I couldn't open up my mouth, but I got what I needed. What do you draw from, number four, what do you draw from when things go bad? What do you draw from when things go bad? And things will. Things will go bad at times. And that's the world that we live in. And if we don't have anything, if we don't have a well to draw from, we'll be so weak. We'll die. We have to have the well to pull from, to continue to drink, to keep ourselves healthy and whole. Amen. This is why I say this, and I will say this. I say it while we're recording. Hey, everybody who's watching, those that don't come to the house of God don't get the same things driving around the neighborhood. Listen, COVID has changed the game. COVID has brought a convenience to the body of Christ that will never go away. But watching this, when you can be here, God is not going to give that same person the same thing he gave somebody who used a gas when gas is over $3.48 a gallon. Period. All those that decide, and everybody watching me, hey, if I'm your pastor, if I'm not your pastor, if you could be here and you chose not to and said, well, I'll just watch it on my phone, on my tablet, I'll cast it to my TV, you think that God's going to give you the same thing that he gave us, that got in the car, drove all the way here, got here, had to sit with somebody and probably see somebody that they didn't want to see? It's not going to happen. See, so you got to have enough faith to tell yourself, the faith has to go, has to be, my faith has to be bigger than the inconvenience I feel. You mean to tell me I got past me being tired? You mean to tell me I got past me having a bad day? You mean to tell me I got past anything that irritated me in that day and I still got in the car, got my Bible, and came to the house of God? And you say because you tired, you've been irritated, you done had a long day, you get to watch it on your phone? When did God become a convenient God? So you have to understand that. So this is why I say all the time, words mean nothing. You can say how much you love God. He wants to see faith without works is dead. You know how easy it is to sit on your couch and wait till Breakthrough says, by the way, we're live, and you just hit the button? You understand? You know how many of us had a bad day too, and we had to throw all of that off to fight to hear what God is saying? So there's ups and downs of faith. Every day isn't a good day for believers. Every day isn't an easy day for Christians. Sometimes you're fighting the enemy. Sometimes you're fighting your own flesh. Sometimes you're fighting your spouse. Sometimes you're fighting your flesh because you don't have a spouse. And sometimes you're fighting your flesh because you said yes to your spouse. Everybody has a struggle. But what do you draw from when things go bad? Because if you don't have faith in God to help you with what's wrong, how can you prepare for the good? If you're having a bad day, if you can't draw from your faith that he can turn it around, what is your expectancy? Sleep it off? It don't work, because you wake up still with an attitude, just you're more well rested. Amen. So, what do you mean by this? See, if you don't have something to draw from, which is faith, that's the thing that pleases God. When he's like, I know you wanted to stay mad, but you pulled from your faith that I could turn it around. And then all of a sudden, that spirit of sadness or anger had to go. Amen. It's nothing worse from the flesh when the flesh want to stay mad. And all of a sudden, a joke happens and you make a mistake and laugh at it. You know, there's nothing more to irritate the flesh when it want to stay all indignant. Somebody say something, you're like, ha ha. And you catch yourself and you get mad that you allowed yourself to have joy for 3 seconds. And then you tell yourself, I won't do it again. I promise you that, no matter what you say. Now it's a war against joy. What sense is that? God's not in that. Somebody say ups and downs of faith. How many of us have had ups and downs of faith? I mean, you know, when we can be honest, sometimes we've had down days and down seasons. But I want you to know, all right, birthday man, breathe in. But you still have faith. It was just low. The devil trying to take it from what you know to what you believe to you don't believe it anymore. The stage is in that thing. You believe what you know God is good. Then I believe God is good. Now it's like, I don't know if God is good. See, there's stages in that thing. I know that's for me. I believe it's for me. Maybe it's not my season. It goes from stage. Victory is mine. I believe it's mine. That's not for me. God is a good God. I believe he's a good God. He's a good God for some, but I don't believe for me. You know those stages you went through. You know that secret jealousy you saw somebody else getting blessed, and you like, I'm you know what? I know God can do it. And then you're like, I believe he can do it for me. And then you get home, why didn't he do it for me? What did I do wrong? There's stages to this thing. There's ups and downs. And when your faith is getting weak, come on, you better find your faith warrior. Sit with them. Okay? It's like this. Yeah, move your Bible. You know I'm coming.
I know.
It's like, sometimes touch them. You know, something. If I know this woman is a woman of faith, hey, girl.
Hey, yeah.
And they're like, and we're just talking. I don't even have nothing to say, but I'm touching her. You know what I mean? So it's you know, like during security. You know, we talk with, hey, girl. They're like, I love you. Smooches. It's sometimes you're so weak. You can't speak, and you don't have to. Just be with them. Just sit with them. And when they talk, just smile. You may not be able to talk back. Just smile, because you need a fill-up. Sometimes it's a hug. Sometimes you just need to feel that there is a good connection. Anybody ever hugged you? And all of a sudden, you got emotional because you didn't feel for a while. You just been on shutdown mode. Now you're crying because you got hugged. And they're like, what's wrong? And you don't even know because you've been on lockdown for emotions so long. You don't even know why you're crying. But your body's so happy for a connection. There's ups and downs of faith. And it's a good thing for us to recognize this. Amen. That's what I've learned. Sometimes I don't need to know what to say to people. Just say, hey. I've learned to just say, hey, and see what happens. I've learned to say, how you doing? See what they say. And sometimes we'll just sit there and smile at each other. I have a great relationship with Lynn. You know, sometimes I'll ask Lynn, how you doing? I get so excited when I see Lynn on Wednesdays. When I see Lynn, I recognize, hey, it's Jesus time when I see Lynn on Wednesdays. Okay? And I'll ask her how she's doing. I hug her. She always smells fantastic. I mean, she always smelled like she just washed her hair, you know, in the car. It's like, her hair always smells fantastic, okay? And so just talking to Lynn, hugging her, you know, we'll talk for a couple minutes, and I'm like, I got my week's full of Lynn. And I feel like I'm full, okay? It don't take a lot, you know? So you don't have to have something deep to say to somebody. Just be present. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. My fifth question, my last one, how do you stay balanced when things aren't going well in your life? What'd you say?
I said these
are
like all one question.
Well, it's number five. I don't know. You are so funny. Sunday, we will have the front row mic'd up so that the world can hear what I have to hear. How do you stay balanced when things aren't going well in your life? How do you stay balanced? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have faith, you will unravel quickly. You will spiral quickly if you don't have faith. Because you have to believe that God is going to be with you in this possible spiraling situation. I mean, because see, sometimes, as I say, life will get you and it'll come out of nowhere. And if you don't have faith to believe God's in it and he's with you and he's going to help you in this thing, you'll lose it quickly. You'll snap quickly. You'll say something you shouldn't say. You'll respond to some things you should ignore. You'll put actions to something that no action should be required. The ups and downs of faith. Sometimes you have to have enough faith not to respond to it. Sometimes your body wants to snap. Your mouth wants to just respond. You have to have enough faith to disregard what wants to be regarded. You gonna be okay over there, front row? Okay. You know, be there for your sister, okay? Rub her back or something. It's so when you have faith, you have to be able to, what you said, Chelsea, you have to, see, we have to work that thing out every day. Because every day we don't exercise it, it gets weaker. And we can never get, as some believers get, all pompous and arrogant because that muscle was big at one time. It's nothing like somebody that remembering what they used to curl back in the day and still think they can lift it. You know how many people that think they are stronger in the thing of the faith than they really are? And they think they're stronger in the things of God than they really are? And then when life come and hit them, you see their weakness, but they still see themselves as strong. It's nothing worse than somebody thinking that they could pick up something of God that God know they can't, and you have discovered that they can't. So seeing somebody who built up themselves and you see it as flab when they see it as muscle, it's not a good thing. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go to Hebrews 10. I'm going to end soon because I don't know when I started. We went over this Sunday. We're going to hit this again. 10:38. Because this is how we talked about the justice, the righteous, the just. We should represent justice. We should represent what's right. We should be the examples of what's right. We should be the examples of how to live right, even when wrong is in the area. We should be the example of wrong is around us, but we're going to stand in what's right when all wrong is around us. We should be the middle ground, okay? We should be the stability. When something is wrong, there should be people that you look to say, okay, I need to go to them because I know they'll help me be right. They'll take me to what's right. They'll lead me to what's right. We should be the nucleus. Are you getting this? And so we should strive to be the ones that when wrong is all around, the people who are seeking right seek us. Are you getting that? We shouldn't be like them that as they're flipping out, we're flipping out too. And if we are flipping out like them, we should know someone that reminds of what right looks like, of what just looks like, of what stable looks like, so that we can be that light even to them. Okay, so in 10:38 it says, now the just shall live by what? Now, remember now. So if you messed up, if you fell off, now get back on. If you made a mistake, now recognize that mistake and now get back on. Don't stay all pompous and prideful and so you can't admit what you did wrong or justifying why you did what you did. If you're still justifying what you did, then there's no repentance there. So there's no turnaround. If you're still coming back to why you did what you did, obviously it really wasn't a change. Okay? So it says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If we draw back from faith, if we draw back from believing in him, not believing in us, not believing in why we did something, but believing in why, if it's not according to what he wants or how he wants it, if we can't do that, he's drawing back from us. He has no pleasure with us. So we have to be the justice, which is the just. Okay, are you getting that? Okay, so real quickly, you know, I was ending my day, and I don't know why it popped up. Well, I know why it popped up because the message that we're going to talk about today. And I was in a 3-hour board of directors meeting today, and normally they're 4 hours, but it was condensed to 3. I'm like, okay, yay me! And so then, even though it was condensed, so we had to have this meeting with all of the board of directors, and everybody had to talk about their department and blah, 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 and presentations and PowerPoint slides and blah, blah, blah. And then when that was over with, and I'm like, okay, I can breathe. And then it's like, hey, can all directors get together and let's have a preview of what we all just talked about. So But then God spoke to me about this one, talking about the ups and downs of faith. And he talked to me, he showed me, he brought Peter to me. Okay. So he brought Peter to me. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. I was having a conversation with God. It's a funny thing. I was trying to like compress my brain and I was trying to relax my brain for a minute. And then I started thinking about the Bible, which I guess because I'm a pastor, that happens. And I was thinking about this message, and I was thinking about the ups and downs, and I was talking to God, and he brought Peter to me. And he brought Peter to me, 16, are we there? Okay, so 16, 13, you there? It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, so Jesus is with his disciples, right? So he's with them. He's like, you know what? I got a question. You know how I always say, I got a question. So Jesus said, I got a question. And he says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He listened and he says unto them, but whom do ye say that I am? And Peter answered and said, thou art the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barthanim, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but by my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, I was talking to God about this one, and I was like, Lord, I was talking to him about some of the people in the Bible that God gave us for examples of when they were up in faith. This was an up moment. This when he's like, Pastor, give me an example of somebody being up in their faith right here. He was so up in his faith that Jesus changed his name. From Simon, he said, you know, no more Simon Peter. You are Peter. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church upon your belief, but upon your faith. You know what Peter was operating in? Knowing. He was like, listen, I done been with you long enough. I done heard enough, but I've been with you long enough that I know who you are. It's not about who they're saying you are, but with my experience of what I have seen. You remember we talked about proven. Okay, a knowledge lived out, exercised. He said, listen, you ain't no John the Baptist. I've seen you know you are the Christ. Okay, so that's annoying. That's up. Okay, you got that? Now let's go to Matthew chapter 26. I laugh because this is us. I was like, Lord, so I'm talking to him about the up. That was a up Peter moment. Now, Katie, we're going to talk about a down Peter moment. Couple chapters later, chapter 26, hit me with a verse number 69. Are we there? Amen. Okay, I'm waiting, wife. I'm in no rush. I got you, Marina. You let me know you're ready. It's okay. Mine stick too. Okay, so is everyone in chapter 26, verse 69? Okay, everybody watching me? On film, you there? Okay. So 69 says, now Peter sat without in the palace. And a damsel came unto him saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before all of them saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. 72. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. I told you, Katie, this is low Peter moment. See, we just talked about that was high. Mercedes, they don't get no lower than this. Okay, you know he said it with attitude because Peter was wild. Okay, Peter was wild. Peter would fight you. Okay, and you know Peter gave her a good cuss word. You know he slipped it in there a little bit. Yeah, you know he slipped it in. Listen, blank a blank, I told you. Okay, I don't know the man. 73, and after a while came unto him that stood by and said to Peter, surely. Thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. And began he to cuss him. And I swear, told you. He went off. He just dropped one word in effort. He cussed him out. He cussed him out, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Jesus told him. God was gonna, come on. Three times. You're going to deny him. I know. Dang. But how many times have we denied him? How many times did Jesus tell us to say something? We're like, we're in the public. We're like, I don't want to be seen as some holy roller. So I'm just going to keep it in. Or you feel in your heart, do, 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 do. I was like, say this to him. And you're like, I just pray that the next person say it to him. See, that's still denying him. How many times did the moment come up and you feel it? You're starting to sweat. You feel, you feel, you're supposed to say, you can feel it coming up, like, just say it. Just open up your mouth. Come on, Moses, open up your mouth. Yeah. And you're like, I'll just pray, that God will reveal it to them. You denied them. Somebody saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And inside you're like, you know what to do? You need to give it to Jesus. let's cast your care. And you're like, you know what? Just keep hoping. You denied him. So we talk about Peter. But how many times have we denied him? I see your hand. What you got over there, Lashes? You still got something to say? Okay, we'll get a microphone to you. Go ahead.
I didn't know where you were going to teach on today, but I knew it was going to reflect today's struggle. Well, because amen. I literally said, "Whoo, I got to get the Bible study. I got to work," and I'm like, I got to get out of here. What time is it? I just need to get to church. I just want some correction and some clarity. Okay. The situation came up where they began to argue religion. And in my heart of hearts, the only scripture that really stuck with me was Mercedes, be angry, but do not sin. So I chose not to say anything, and I just let these fools bounce off of each other. And then there was another scripture that said, well, you're not supposed to argue. We're not supposed to argue his word. So they, of course, they hit me with the same big bang. And Adam is really A-T-O-M, atom. And I'm just like, I had the faith to not say anything. But what you just say in that example with Peter, did I deny him or did I do the other scripture that I was holding on to was being angry and not sinning and not arguing with them. I had my knowing of who God is, and they just kept on with the Big Bang science and ATOM Adam, and I just sat there like, I got to get out of here. I'm just not going to say nothing. And then they even asked me after. I mean, it was, I knew that they knew that they offended me in some way because I chose not to say anything for at least about an hour or two just so I could, I just kept doing my work and and I made sure I stayed on this side of the restaurant and they just kept coming back to me. Did you want me to get you a bottle of water? I'm like, no. You know, I'm like, I'm good. They're like, so are we good? I'm like, we're good. It was like, are we? I'm like, yes. So did I deny? Did I lose my moments to, you know, to witness to them? Or did I stay in faith and hold my peace?
Well, I'm going to say this. That is a wonderful question. And I really want to say that I love the way you explained everything. And then ask the question to say if you're ready to get corrected. And I would tell you this. It depends. And the reason I say that, because if you rewind what I said, and like if we go back and watch this, if you rewind what I said, like I'm going to do later on in the day, and everyone, there's a part of it when I said that sometimes you have to not respond. Sometimes you can't, you have to tell yourself that you are not going to allow yourself to go there. And so you have to allow what's going on and tell yourself that you are not participating in that thing. And so, because if you couldn't participate with the love of Christ, you shouldn't participate. If you can't participate with the love and the trust of Christ, you shouldn't be in there. So if you jump in and your spirit is not connected with his, you're only going to make it worse. So I would say, based on what you said and how you said it, you did the right thing by abstaining from it. That's not denying him, because if they would have said to you, do you believe do you believe that God is real? And you would have said, yeah, I don't know. Then you denied him. But them wanting you to jump in, that's a lot of times what it sounds like to me, based on what you said and how you said it, it sounds to me the same thing they did to Jesus when they were telling him what's going on, and then they say, well, what do you think? And so it doesn't seem as though you, I would say this, as your pastor, based on what you said, you definitely did not deny him. It's, to me, it seemed like you used wisdom to not continue to exercise in something that wasn't godly. So you would have denied him if somebody would have came one off and said, can I talk to you about a couple of things? And you said nothing when they were really trying to learn about him. Then you denied him. So my answer would say, I said, depends, but no, you were good. So that's an excellent question. And the fact that you said you got to get to church. See, that was your faith telling you, get in the car, get the kids, get to my house. Okay, so that's why I said, what do you, you know, how do you handle a struggle? You answered that. Okay, the other one, what do you draw from when things aren't when what do you draw from when things are going bad? See, you drew your faith, and then how do you stay balanced when things aren't going well? See, it was your faith that you. Sometimes you have to shut it down. Sometimes you can't respond to those things. So yes, you did good, and so that keeps us balanced and humble when we keep checking to make sure. That keeps us humble. Did you have something to say there?
Yeah, I did.
Do you have a microphone? Okay.
When Mercedes, I work in a place where people try to question me about God often or bait me into conversations. So I understand the type of environment. But the way that I take it is the same way I take when somebody, like, about prayer. So if you're going to pray for somebody, they got to be willing to accept the prayer. Like, who told you to pray for them? Was it God or was it just them? Or, you know, if they're asking in a way to, like, accept God, I don't ever have a problem. And because I feel like people have seen me not engage in those types of conversations, there are people who come and ask me, like, hey, so what church you go to? Your church got a podcast? Can you send it to me? You know, they'll see you from who you are because God lives in you. It's not something you got to fight for. So don't take it as being combative, because I'm pretty sure that's where the anger came from. Because it was like, you're attacking my God. They're not. They are trying to attack you. But because God lives in you, he protects you. You good.
You know, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, go to verse number 35. We're going to do 35 through 37. Are we there? It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and ye that shall come will come and will not tarry. Basically, what that is basically saying, don't lose your confidence when you have done what is required to you by God. Now, after you've done it, now have patience with God that he's going to do what he said he's going to do, instead of expecting him to do it immediately after you did your part. Sometimes we're like, Lord, I did it. You're like, okay, so Lord. And he's like, hold on. Now let's work on building up your patience and your trust and faith with me that I'm going to do what I said. But also keep your flesh low by not doing it when you want it done. Because if God does everything when we want it, we'll think he has to do it at our command. And then he's not God. We are. And we're like, Lord, I did it. Chop, chop. Then is he really answering our prayers, or is he really filling our command? So don't lose confidence in your faith just because it hasn't happened when your flesh wanted it to. And sometimes God won't let it happen so that your flesh can decrease. So when he does it, your flesh isn't saying it's about time. The spirit man can give him the praise that he deserves. Sometimes God does it and you like, because I tell you all the time, people who expect things will never appreciate things. So when they expected you to do it, they will never appreciate you for doing it. This is why I tell you all the time, when they don't appreciate you, when they expect you to do something for them, they'll never give you the appreciation that you want to get. So they'll never say thank you because they expect you to do it. So why, when you're like, they didn't even say thank you, that's because they expect you to do it. They were like, you didn't do nothing great. You were supposed to. Okay. That's why parents quit doing all that stuff for your kids. Talking about when I live poor, I don't ever want them to struggle. Okay. So you teach them that they will never struggle until they struggle, and then they're going to blame you for struggling. Okay, I said five. Number six. And then we'll wrap it up. How important is faith in your life? How important is faith in your life? We'll end it with, I love reading chapter 11. Matter of fact, let's do a little breakthrough homework. Read chapter 11, and then let's talk on band as far as what you got out of chapter 11. What did I say?
Chapter 11.
Of Hebrews.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Thank you, church. Yes. Chapter 11 of Hebrews. And then let's talk about it. Let's dialogue on our app as far as what you got out of this. Let's hit it with verse number 11. Because I love it, because this is by faith, and they start talking about different people and what happened with them. But number six, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, who is, God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We got to understand, we got to come, we got to believe that he is. We have to believe that he's capable. You can't say you have faith, but you don't believe that he's capable to do what you have faith that he's going to be able to do. You can't say, I'm praying about it, but I don't really believe that it's going to happen. That you really don't have faith. You understand? You can't say, I'm believing God for this, but are you? You can't say I'm believing God for it, but you're mad at God for not doing it when you want him to do it. Because sometimes we have an attitude, a secret attitude with God that we don't talk about. We kind of had this stale anger, a little mad at God. I expected God to do this. He didn't do it. I'm a little disappointed with God. Well, you can't have faith in God and be disappointed with God at the same time.
Right.
So these are the ups and downs of faith. We have to be able to have a full assurance that he is who he said that he is and that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. You have to know that even when God is working on some things on your behalf, that even when things are down, that God will get you to where he wants you to be if you're partnering with him. It's a constant partnership with him. And as I close and wrap this up, what I want us to understand, if God's not our partner in this thing, if we're not working with him in this thing, how can we relate to him? If he's not with us in this faith thing, what do you mean by with us? He has to be the source that we go to, that we pull from.
Amen.
We have to have enough faith. See, you got to have enough faith to believe that you can get out of the situation. You have to have enough faith to believe that it won't stay the way that it is. You have to have enough faith to believe that this bad situation won't stay this way. You have to have enough belief. You have to have enough faith to believe that the attitude you have can change. You have to have enough faith to believe that the thing you're believing on will be. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
Like, Katie, I don't know if you recognize something. Your faith created a miracle. And I don't even know if you know that.
She questioned it.
Yeah, see, I can tell by your mannerisms and your face all day. You're like, meh. See, this is the thing with us believers, and I'm going to end. I said, there's a thing in this year, because this is the year of vision. If you can't, God wants us to see not how we see things in the flesh. We want him to see things the way he sees things, because nothing is impossible to God. How can nothing be impossible to him? Because he made everything, so nothing is impossible. And anything that's closed, he can open. Anything that's not existent, he can make. So when things not there, God doesn't say, oh, here we go again, because he can make it. If things are going bad, God can change it. So this is why he's not, see, Jesus, that's what I'm talking about. You know how we do it. See, I knew, see, God doesn't do that. He can change whatever. But if you had the faith that God had, you wouldn't be doing this anymore either. You wouldn't be saying, they'll never do it. If you had a belief that they can, they can. See, you got to be able to have what I said in this year to really get to God, crazy faith. Those that don't have, I said 17 years ago, I talked about that for a whole year, crazy faith. You got to have crazy faith / stupid faith. Pastor Bobby said crazy faith way before Michael Todd did. Okay, now he got paid off of his crazy faith. I did. But you can roll back the tape of 2005. Pastor Bobby was talking about crazy faith and stupid faith. You got to have faith that people say that's stupid for you believing in that. Okay. But you got, in order to move a mountain, you got to have some stupid faith.
Amen.
See, you had to believe something that everybody said wouldn't happen. And there are times that you say, oh, that won't happen, or they won't do this. And I was like, yeah, they will, if you believe it. And then flesh would say, but you don't understand, Pastor. And that's why I tell people all the time, I don't have to understand. I don't want to understand, because to understand, I have to feel what you feel. I don't want to feel what you feel, because I feel faith. I feel the possibilities of God. See, the thing is, you right now, you should have walked in here with the biggest smile on your face, and no matter what anybody said, you should be smiling. The most depressed person should have joy sitting next to you, because you don't even recognize, and this is why I said the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. You've been not just witness, you are involved in a modern-day miracle. I told y'all, in this year of vision, we're going to see miracles.
Yep.
You had something happen on Sunday that it was told to you would not happen. See, and yet, you didn't do any laps around the sanctuary. Because it was like, oh, yeah, that happened, but. Listen, let me tell you this. If God is a miracle worker and God does a miracle and all our response is, I was so happy, would that pump up God to do another miracle for you? See, my point to us is God does miraculous things and we say, thank you, Lord, but this is also what I have on my prayer list. How are we any stronger than the children of Israel? That's what we do. See, we say God still performed miracles. And yeah, it was like, yeah, I was a part of that. That was cool. Miracles shouldn't be cool. Miracles is miraculous. You had somebody walk into the house of God that said they wasn't ever going to do it. And they did it. And you were a witness because you sat next to them. See, this is what I said. Nothing is impossible with Christ. But we have to have the faith. But when God does it, we should be able to reward him with shouts. If anybody should have been told that they have to calm themselves down at work all week, should be you. How do we see the ups and downs of faith? We should have faith to move mountains. We should have the faith to say, no matter what you say, if I put it to God, it'll be. We should have the faith to say, I don't care what you say. If I put it to God, he can do it. If God never does anything else for you, Katie, I want you to see what he's already done for you. If he doesn't change anything else, he won't change it unless you have the faith to make it change. So if you have the faith that you're comfortable on what's happening now, God, like, okay, are you comfortable with this? Or do you want crazy, stupid faith? Because, see, that was just the beginning for God. See, nothing is impossible with him. But see, this is why the scripture means, be it unto you according to your faith. I don't believe anything is dead. Because I roll with the resurrection. So all I have to believe is Jesus can breathe in it. And more importantly, like he did me. When he breathed into this dead vessel. When I was dead to Christ. When I said I don't want anything to do with Christ. All through my backsliding. See, it's one thing to go in here, but I want you to go into your own story of what he has done. When you were doing your thing and loving it. And people inviting you to church and you were cussing them out like Peter. It's okay, we all did it. But let's stop acting like we didn't.
Right.
There's ups and downs of faith. And prayerfully tonight, what we've learned is if I'm down, then at least I'm still in it. Now I got to build it up. I got to work that faith muscle. I can't keep it like this. I don't want to get satisfied just seeing them show up. I want to see them get filled up. With the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. I want to see them not just show up, but receive him. Yes. When they came to the master's house. Now, I don't want you to just sit at the master's table. I want you to see what the chef can cook up for you. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, when people say, Pastor, you know, can I see y'all on the web? I'm like, yes, you can. They're like, how to do it? I'm like, 38600 Lakeshore Boulevard. They're like, but that's the address. I'm like, exactly, and I move on. Because if I can't watch this on the web, neither can anybody I'm inviting. You know the difference between sitting and watching somebody with your legs crossed, eating bonbons, versus sitting in the sanctuary when you can't eat? It's a different sacrifice. You know, when you're in the sanctuary and your stomach growling because you can't eat, and at home you can eat everything. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So there's ups and downs. I want us to know that. I want us to acknowledge it. But when you're down, don't stay down. Amen. Now my question to you is, Katie, what's next? You know, what is your faith saying? Is your faith full? Or does your faith demand more? Because your faith is what you believe it to be. You've already seen the impossible. Now I'm like, let's keep pushing this thing. That's ups and downs of faith. See, that's the crazy, stupid faith. Let's not settle on just seeing the first step. Let's see this thing to the finish line. Amen? Is anybody, this is part five, anybody, is anybody's faith bigger than it was? Yeah. Or y'all, Lord have mercy. Hopefully somebody watching this is shouting. Hopefully somebody watching this is like, oh my God, this is what I need. So hopefully somebody is ready to lift up something that wanted to stay down. So Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, I ask you to blow in us, Lord God. Blow only what you can blow. Blow life back into these dead vessels. Blow life back into the faithless vessels. Blow life back to the filled up vessels. Blow out the stuff that was in it that is keeping the victory out of the inside of us, Lord God. Blow let the confidence rise in us, Lord God. Let the knowing show up, Lord God. Let us walk in knowing, not belief, but knowing what you've done. Let the belief stay for the new believers, and let the knowing rise up for the ones that's walked with you. Let us walk, Lord God, as the veterans of this thing. Lord God, knowing what you've done. If you've answered any prayer, Lord God, let there be a knowing in that. If you've shown yourself true, Lord God, let it be a knowing. If man said no and you said yes and no became yes, Lord God, let us walk in that. I thank you. I pray let our faith rise. Not in us, not in our ability, but in you. Let us have a yes and amen. But let us be able to see what you say. Let us repeat what you say. And let us walk into what you say. Let us sit down on what you say. Let us lay down in what you say. Let us rest in what you say. Let us run in what you say. Let us move in what you say, Lord God. Let what you say reign over everything, even above what we've previously said. Let what you say erase what we have said. Let your belief shine over our belief, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that anything we thought that didn't reflect what you want us to think, shower us, overpower us in the name of Jesus. Let us walk as the ones you've chosen. Let us speak the word of God. Let us live out the word of God. And let us show people what the word of God looks like dwelling on the inside of these imperfect vessels. I thank you for it now. I thank you for part five. I thank you for the ups and downs. And I pray that we've learned some valuable, life-changing lessons today. I pray that, Lord God, you have awakened us, lifted us, Lord God, placed us where we need to be in this time of this message. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless. I'll see everybody on Sunday. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.